This conference will now be recorded.
And the name of the study is Spiritual Gifts. Unfortunately, it's a topic that has been destroyed, distorted, misused, and confusing. You'll hear people claim gifts that they have, and they'll be dead wrong. You'll hear people concerned because they think they never got theirs. And a lot of people just don't understand what it means. Secondly, we make the mistake, as you're going to see in here, and I'll say this, even though I wrote it down in here, there's a difference between a talent and a gift. I told you I went to a concert years ago, and a person sang, and she had a beautiful voice. Now, she was not a Christian, but everybody kept saying, man, she has a beautiful gift, and it sounds great. But no, what she had, not being a Christian, was a talent. All humans have talents. Only Christians have gifts. That's why it's called spiritual gifts. And this is necessary because in understanding this, hopefully you realize we were not born to be something that we want. We were born to be what God made us to be. And gifts plays a part. As you're going to see in this, even though you can ask for gifts, there are certain gifts that he automatically gives you. And that was what he planned on giving you from the beginning. And it's important for us to recognize the importance of gifts, because in lacking them, we hurt the ministry. And also, let's say I recognize my gift. My gift, as you're going to see, works with yours in order for it to really work correctly. So if one is doing it and the other one is not, then we have a major problem. So this is one of those reasons why it's so important for us to disconnect self and really connect to God. Okay? When I say disconnect self, all in for God, despite what I desire. If that makes sense, okay? And this is where you're going to understand, hopefully, it gives you what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. It explains what they are, how they work. And then at the end of it, it's going to show why most Christians today have no idea what their gifts are. And a lot of people are going to die without knowing what their gifts are. And that's not good. That's not a good thing. And we'll talk about that. So at the top of the page, as we see, the Bible informs us so we are not ignorant. Now, what he means in here in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 3, he says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So that's what he's saying. I need you to know this. So this is one of those. There's some things in the Bible that he gives us a little bit of, and that's all we need to know. It's not going to hurt or help our salvation. It's just a knowledge thing. Then there's other things that are necessary, and he gives us detail. And that's what he does on this. And he's saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want y'all to live in ignorance. Okay, so you don't have to listen to somebody telling you about gifts. This is going to tell you. Now, what he's explaining here, when he says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. He's letting them know, hey, when you guys, before y'all were Christians, you were following these other religions and following these non-existing gods. He says, therefore, I tell you, and he breaks this down, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's showing you here is to know the difference between those that are teaching you. If a person calls himself a Christian, but they're not doing things based on Christ, if they kind of use Christ, you know, for instance, the one part of the Muslim group called Jesus the sinless prophet. But they'll talk about Jesus and, you know, and they'll misuse Jesus and stuff like that. So, you know, that's not a teacher of God. That's what he's saying. OK, but the person that says Jesus is Lord, and not they're not just saying it. And in fact, in the wording in here, if you got the translation, when it says no one can say, it means they're displaying that he is our Lord. He's like, only a person led by the Holy Spirit will live as Jesus is Lord. In other words, that's their teaching is going to be, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, and that's what we're going to do, and that settles it. He's saying that's the teacher. So he's saying, make sure your teacher is fully led by Christ, by the Spirit, okay, and not somebody who says they are, but their actions show otherwise. Okay? So he's setting us up on this. This is very important. Don't be misled on it. And I stress that because today you have people that have gotten information on gifts that I don't know where they got their information from. And it's not because it's not in the Bible. And this is hopefully this will clear some things up. Now, an initial purpose of spiritual gifts is God displaying salvation. Okay? It says in Hebrews 2, 1 to 4, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Now, this is an important line in itself not to go off, but when he's, we tend to go through the motions instead of go with an extreme purpose. Like, we go to church, we may go to Bible study, and then we go, right? God has to be our life to an extreme part, and him being our lives is our protection also. That means I have to live with the mindset and understand that I have to have him in completeness every single day of my life. So when he says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we don't drift away, this goes for all of us. When we hear a sermon, we want to not just hear the sermon. You want to question like you have on the sermon, get an understanding, make sure it's in God's word. Then you want to apply it, and you want to do it to where it becomes secondhand, that you don't necessarily have to remember word for word the sermon or what the word says, but you remember the concept of what God is telling us. And then you live it, because that's part of your protection not to drift away. He says in verse 2, "For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedient received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" He's basically saying, so if God, and he was strict on this punishment, it's basically saying that everybody got punished and the punishments were on their way, this salvation, how can we ignore it? This, you know, this salvation is huge. It's a gift given to a bunch of undeserved people. It's saying this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, watch this, distributed according to his will. So what God does down here, like especially when Jesus and the apostles were here and you saw a lot of signs and wonders and the miracles and stuff like that, and then the gifts now, as the gifts grew, they were put purposely as a ministry, okay, to lead people to salvation. This is why it's going to be very important for us to follow how these are to be applied, which we're about to see. Okay, so a big part of gifts was a ministry, and you're going to see it, the bigger part of it as we move on in this, but the big part of it is to minister and minister in the right way. Keep that in mind. Now, each Christian has a gift. I'm going to say that again. Each Christian has a gift or gifts. Some may have more than one from God. All right. If you are a Christian and you accepted Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, you have a gift. You just may not know it. We'll talk about how to know it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7 says, "I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God." Did y'all catch that? Okay. One has this gift, another has that. Now, my gift is not going to be your gift. And as you're going to see later, even the levels of what God gives is up to God. And as we read earlier, distributed according to his will, the big part of this is it's not something I work to get. It's something he already planned for me to have. Keep that in mind. Even though we're going to see later, I can ask for gifts. There are certain gifts that I automatically get. Okay. And they're from God. Please understand that. Now, our gifts are meant to be used in concert with others' gifts in the body. So this is what I was saying earlier. Ephesians 4, 3 through 8 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity." Now, the church is so splintered today, it breaks my heart. And for so many ungodly reasons. And we should be breaking our necks to have a unity in the church. But we're not doing that. We just go in our different groups and we're happy. And the problem is, we're still in that breaking up, it weakens the effectiveness of the group. That's why he says, make every effort to keep the unity. Okay. And if you remember, like I said, the first thing the church should have done through all this stuff, especially on the racial thing, is okay, what does the church first need to do to be the church? There shouldn't be a black church, white church, Asian church. There shouldn't be any of that. And we should have said, what do we need to become the unit in Christ? But we haven't done that, and we need to really work harder on that. But he says, of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That means it's sitting down and understanding, getting rid of some things that are causing separation and really working on it. Now, watch how he breaks it down. There is one body. So even though some of you are, you attend and you're in part of FSG Church, you're still part of one body. So there is another part of the body who lives in Europe. They're still part of this one body. Y'all get this? Okay, we're all Christians, part of one body. It's not this church does it that way and this church does it this way. And this is why the church becomes dysfunctional, because we react as if each church is a body. And that's not how it is. Each church belongs to the body. That's why he says one body, all gotten a gift from one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. In other words, the one hope is Christ returning. Any other thing you have is a desire or a wish, and that's fine. But the one hope that we all live for is the returning of Christ. We all live for that hope. And when you were called one Lord, that means it's all the same Christ. There's no difference in Christ. Let's not mix them up. One faith. That's why we all have to be in the same faith. And that's why it's so important for the church. That one of the biggest things is for us to teach unity in the faith. One baptism. We only baptize into Christ, into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of that is still Christ. It's all one baptism, and there's only one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Okay? It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as, watch this, Christ apportioned it. So Christ ahead of time said, Keith, you're going to get this before I was even born. So my job isn't to grow up to be what I think I want to be in Christ. I grow up to know him, to know what I am in Christ. Does that make sense? You know, on some of the younger teams, I remember you had coaches that would already say what the kids are going to be. This one's going to play first base, one's going to be second base, one's going to be outfield. He already had it planned. So the kids are not going to go there and go, I'm going to show out because I'm going to get first base. I'm going to be pitcher. It's, I don't care as a coach. You go here, you go. He already had it planned. And how we react is, I want to do whatever you have me to do. Where we fail is we're basically saying to God, well, I don't want to do that. And in our actions, a lot of us still do that. We still react based on what we want, not on what he says. And that's a big reason, as you're going to see later, one of the reasons why we don't know our gifts. All right, let's break it down on how gifts work then. Gifts are shown through speaking or action, and the glory is to go to God. That's the process. So you'll see the gifts in what a person is saying or what he does. Okay, it's going to be an action or a speaking. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, why is he stressing this? Because a major problem of us trying to do it our way will weaken the gift. And I'll explain that. Let me finish reading this, and then I'll show you what I mean. It says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, I know I'm showing my age, but when we were younger and when Rocky came out and after everything happened and he was getting ready to fight, then you saw him working out and they played that song, which is stuck in everybody's head now. So you've seen him working out because it was him going to go in and fight this fight. And so he had to be ready to go in and win and whatever, however the whole thing went. Okay. The difference on a Christian, as I have here, is when it comes to spiritual gifts, we don't work out in order to do them. We work on being totally used by God. And what I mean by that is, for instance, as a pastor, I know I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. And there's nothing wrong if I went to school to try to work on that. And you know, I may have taken speech and certain things like that, but I don't go there thinking it's going to enhance this thing, because the speaking is from the Spirit. Do you understand that? I rely on the Spirit. So I invest my time in getting close to God in order for the Spirit to work. I don't go somewhere to make me better, because right now I'm trying to use the flesh to do a spiritual thing instead of allowing God to use me to do it. That's why it's called the gift of the Spirit. That's why when he said, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. What ministers think today is, I got to wow you when I preach. I got to get up there and you have to be so enthralled in what I am saying and how I say it and the rhyming and all this other stuff that you are just in. And there are some excellent speakers. People don't realize Hitler was an excellent speaker. You understand it? So don't get caught up in the how the person speaks all the time. It's, are they being used by God? Right? There may be some cases where God's like, I don't want it to come as refined and great like this. I just want you to allow me to work in you. And that's why he says, do it with the strength God provides. Right? there are some that will go to a school and they'll try to be like another minister. You know, one of the first things I'm glad an older guy said a long time ago, he said, let God use you. Don't be somebody else. Do you understand that? And you'll get some that'll try to form. This is what a minister sounds like. This is what they're supposed to look like. This is what you know what I mean? And if that's not based on what God is showing in the word, then you're not using the gift. You're trying to do it. This is very necessary and very important for us to understand that. Hopefully everybody gets that. Okay, because remember, he says that in all things, God may be praised. Right? I've heard ministers that I was in awe of the speaking and how they did it. However, I don't remember really giving the glory to God. I might have said I was, but that way he spoke, I probably took what he said. Glory to God means, like the Bereans, man, thank you for giving me that. Now it'll let me go to the word to check and make sure because I'm making sure you're giving me what God gives. Okay, so this is the important part, that he may be praised through Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So our gift is to glorify him. All right. So now, don't mistake spiritual gifts with natural talents. That's what I was saying. Every human being has talents. All right. Only Christians have gifts. Okay. Talents can be used to make money, to live your life, whatever you want. When you become a Christian, you'll even use your talents for God, but you're going to give specific gifts to be used specifically for God. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people use their gifts. There are Christians that have used their gifts to make money or for notoriety or for other things. They're wrong. And I'll explain how they're wrong. In fact, breaking gifts down will give you that understanding. Hopefully, everybody's with me up to this point. First of all, it breaks down this way. Different gifts come from one spirit, performed based on one Lord, and all for God to work. That's the process. I'm gonna say it again. So there are different gifts. Each of us get a gift or gifts, but they all come from God, the Holy Spirit, right? We do it based on Christ, right? Performed based on one Lord, and we allow God to work, not us. All right. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 shows us this. He starts off with there are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. Now, I'll break this down and I'll show you what this means. We're going to read it first. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Okay. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the spirit is given, watch this, for the common good. Now, let me break this down because this one is very important. It really breaks down how gifts work and how that process should be done. The common good, I put that first. That's the purpose of the gift. The Greek word for that is symphero, which means I'm doing it for the bearing together, for the collective, okay, for the collective, for the good, for us to be good. It's the whole thing. I'm doing it mainly for his purpose. Do you understand that? So when this is the common good and only God is good, my main purpose that my gift is to be used is for that purpose of displaying and ministering God. Now, why do I say that? And why does the word say that? Because you're going to have the ability or the choice to use it for other stuff. And that's a problem. Okay. And this is why he breaks it down. First of all, the gift we recognize comes from the Holy Spirit. Just like there's the fruit of the Spirit. That's why in the prayers you hear me say instrument, and this is why we always should see ourselves as instruments, okay? The gift is something put in me for God to use me. I just want to be used by God. That's the most important part of this. We need to be used by God. This is not because God's impressed with me. I'm going to put Keith in this position. No, he's not impressed with any of us. The only impressing that we can do for God is us being in him. Keep that in mind. So it shows that the gift is the power given by the Holy Spirit. It comes from a Greek word, charisma. In fact, it's the word favor in the New Testament. It's a divine, that's grace. Mixing up charisma. Charisma, that's not that. Okay, but gifts is a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment. So it's something that God gives us. I don't earn it. Nothing I did that he made me give it to. I didn't have to work hard to get it. In some cases, I can ask for it, but he still makes the choice of if he's going to give it to me, okay? So I get the gift. The minute you become a Christian, you get the gift. When I use the gift, that's the service, the action done with the power of the Holy Spirit following Jesus' lead. That's why he says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So I preach. Somebody else may sing. Another person may be behind the scenes doing the electronic part of it. There may be ushers. There may be others. There may be people that work after you leave the church to encourage, to lead Bible studies. You see where I'm going? All of these are different services, but they better be done based on Christ. That's what it's saying. Okay? And it's all of these are very important, as you're going to see. Okay? And then he goes in, but the working. Now, why is this so important? This even goes to what we were talking about earlier, the working, when we were talking about disassociation. We tend to think we are doing stuff down here. I had to learn a long time ago as a pastor. The reason I told people before, please question me. Anytime you hear me give a sermon or something like, and you disagree with me, by all means, question me. I want you to question me. Why? Because it's not about me. You understand that? If it hurt my feelings, that's just too bad, because it's not about me. You understand that? Because it's not me doing it. I'm being used by God. So if people didn't come to church or did come to church, I don't go, oh man, are people upset? Do people like me? I have to go, am I doing what God tells me to do? That's what everybody needs to do. Please don't mistake your success as as the answer if you're in the right path of God or not. Please don't make that mistake. What I mean by that is there are some people that'll go out, and this is what happens to a lot of churches. They'll stop preaching the word and they'll start preaching what we may call desirable things, and then people will come. And you'll look at the outcome. Man, I got more people, so I must be doing something right. That's what they'll say. And that's not how it works. And the Bible shows that in many cases. Okay. What he's going to ask of us is, are you doing what he says? That's the key. Am I doing what he says? And that's the most important part of it. Okay. So it breaks it down that
question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I want to see if I'm getting this clear. When you're talking about the service and the working or whatever.
Yep.
So if I'm in a church and they have they need someone to be a hostess.
Yep.
Are you saying I shouldn't accept doing that job if God didn't place me in that position? Just feeling the need.
Not even that. If they ask you to do that, you want to do that, but that may not be your gift. I'm not saying that's your gift necessarily. So sometimes they're going to have you fulfill a need, but there are certain things that God specifically is saying, I have you to do this. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's certain things you may be an usher, some maybe don't, you know, there's some basic things, but you're going to see some people that in some of these basic things, they're going to excel. Why? Because the Spirit has given them something to make them excel in that. Doesn't mean others can't do it. It means this person was made to do it, and the other ones are helping, if that makes sense. And some are going to realize it's not for me to do. In fact, and we see this in the ministry, there are some ministers that really shouldn't be ministers, right? I mean, even something as small as, and I don't call any of the gifts small or any of the tasks in the church, but you have some people that they just can't. And they probably shouldn't be, but the gift will, God will empower us. And when I'm used by God, that's where that comes in. So when he just asks you to do a work in the church, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it may not be what you're gifted with. And that's something to keep in mind. Hopefully that helped.
Is that going back to when you hear, heard people say that anyone that fills a position, like say, for instance, you're going to teach a Sunday school class or whatever, that they should pray over you to anoint you for that position.
Yeah, and that's where somebody took something and they went further with that. The Bible talks about the praying and the anointing or the ordination of it only goes to ministry and deacons. Other than that, the Bible never showed in any other way where that was done for any other position, if you will. Now, the other position should work under those two as helping with that, but the only ordained parts in the Bible are ministries, like the pastors, teachers, and the prophets, and the apostles, and deacons. Okay. Other than that, yeah. So when they do that, I think they took it a step further. I don't see anything in the Word that supports that.
Okay.
Got it?
Pastor, I have a question.
Yeah.
When we're talking about gifts, if it's something that you're naturally good at or you're really comfortable, that doesn't actually make it your gift, does it?
That's correct. It could be your talent.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your talent. Okay. And that's nothing wrong. And even if you do, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Okay. But the biggest part, and this is why it's so necessary for us to have a stronger relationship with God, because the more we know him And that's what it's going to show a little later. The more we know him, the more we understand what I'm here for, what my purpose is. And please, and I'm glad you put a point out there. One of the things that's really hurting us today, and this is why it's called terrible times, 2 Timothy 3 shows us this, is a lot of us base our gift on our desire. Like we'll have a strong desire to do something, and in turn, we'll say that I'm called to do it. And that's not necessarily so. Please understand that. Okay. In fact, there are some gifts that people have that God gifted them to do it, but they don't have a desire to do it. I mean, we've seen that with Moses. You understand? Mm-hmm. I mean, Moses fought. He did not want to do that. And with that, but that was what God gave him. You know, God is the one who even said, I'm the one who, remember, he said, I can't speak. Well, you know, let somebody else do this, blah, blah, blah. And even though he gave in and allowed Aaron to do it, you notice the rest of the way, Moses still did most of the speaking. And he said, I'm the one doing this through you. You're the instrument. So please don't mistake your desire for something to be your gift. That's one of the biggest mistakes. And don't make your undesire be the thing to keep you from knowing your gift. Right? I know a person that excellent with kids, and you can see there's a gift. You see them when they are, and they said, I can't stand kids. And their answer was, so I want nothing to do with teaching kids. But man, they're outstanding with kids. And you're kind of, so now what do? Does that make sense? So one of the worst things we can do is ordain or push somebody based on their desire or wants, because that's usually misleading, because it's based off of what I want, not of what he said. But I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you for asking that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And we'll close on this, because the working part is so necessary, because I don't do anything. I allow God. That's the important part of it. So as a pastor, I used to get up and I'd preach. And when I went to see people not getting it, or people struggling, or next week they ignored it and all this other stuff, I kept saying, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. And I would have a whole bunch of things that I was going to do until I was convicted on. So all the stuff you get ready to do, Keith, what is that based on? Are you doing what I told you to do? I'm feeding the sheep. In fact, it inspired, there was a sermon I did a while back called You Can Lead a Horse to Water, but you can't make him drink. And that's stuff that, in other words, I have to do what he tells me and stop. That's why that one verse where Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God that makes it grow. So as I apply what he tells me to do, I step back and allow him to work. And that's going to be a very important part. That's why it says the working is how God works through that gift. Now, why is that so important? Because if I don't recognize my gift, and if I don't do it the way I'm supposed to do, I'm not recognizing his working. Does that make sense? In other words, if I try to use my own talent, or I try to do it with my own strength, and if I do it my own way, even though it's against what the Bible said, then I'm ignoring God's power. I'm denying the power. Remember that verse where it says they deny the power. That's also in 2 Timothy 3, where it says denying the power. That's what it means. He gave me instruction on how to do something. Going back to disassociation, by sight and by intelligence, I look at that and I go, ooh, man, that seems kind of harsh. But by faith, I go, that's what he told me to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I allow him to work. Where we've been messing up is we do things going, God, I'm going to do it this way, okay? And he's like, but that's not what I told you to do. Does that make sense? Okay? And we take away from the power that he has. So knowing that I have a gift, my first part is really getting to know God to understand what my gift is. While you still serve in the church, definitely serve in the church. Doesn't mean, nope. Pastor told me I'm going to sit here until I know my gift. Nope, that's not what I said. So I'm glad Sister Carolyn asked that question. But there is a gift you have in particular. And it may not even have nothing to do in the service itself, as you're going to see as we go through this. Okay? And it may be a part of the other works that you're doing. But you want to know that. And then the service part, why do we come to church? And why do we learn about Christ? And why do we know the specifics in the Bible? So we're doing it the way Christ intended. I think a question was asked on women's question and answer on Monday about there was a guy who was a prophet in another spot, and you hear of this, you hear of these people that do it, and a lot of them do it for notoriety, some of them do it for money, some of them do it for other reasons, not the way Christ did it. And that's a problem. They're still able to do it, doesn't mean they're going to lose the gift, but they're going to have to answer to God. That's why when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only he who does the will of my Father. And he says, many will say, didn't we remove demons in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Because a lot of them are going to have the gifts and they're going to do what they're supposed to, but then they're going to go astray and do things their own way, not doing what the will of the Father is. Know these things here. Get to know them. Talk about them in your groups. Go over them. Know this verse. Read over it again. If it brings up questions, let's ask it. And then hopefully we can move on from it and you have a stronger understanding of how this process works next week. Any questions? All right.